Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. That was a musical selection by Dennis Latham, and he can be found on Facebook at Dennis C. Latham. Amen. And I love this song because it just helps me to enter into the presence of the Lord. And we want to have the presence of the Lord anytime we come on and do a broadcast, because it's truly not about us. It's truly not about what we think. It's truly not about our motives. If our motive is anything other than doing the will of God. So we thank Dennis Latham for that beautiful song, and we'll be playing it throughout the broadcast as we're reading scripture and going through whatever it is that we're going to be talking about. And today is Wednesday, May 15th. Can you believe it? May 15th, 2003. It is 5:08 p.m. Eastern Time in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Glory to God. This is Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, and I am your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott. We are broadcasting simultaneously on Spreaker as well as Blog Talk Radio. So if anyone would care to listen to this broadcast again, you have the choice of listening to it in over at Spreaker or right here at Blog Talk Radio. God bless you, and thank you so much for tuning in. And tonight our topic is just simply entitled, "It's Time to Let God Back in the Church." It's time to let God back into the church. And I think, you know, there's so much going on. There's so much debate. There's so many voices speaking. There's so much going on right now that we really have to be people who have discernment. And not just discernment, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We have to not only be able to have discernment and understand what the will of the Lord is, but we also have to be able to rightly divide the word of God. It's important that we don't take the word of God and use it for our own schemes and merchandise, and, you know, so we can make people follow us and do what we want them to do. But it's very important that we use the word of God rightly, that we take the word of God and use it according as God had set it forth to be used, not for us to change it around, not for us to think what God said, oh, I think this is what he said, I think this is what he meant. No, the word of God stands by itself, and we have to be very careful with the word of God and make sure that we're not abusing the word of God, misusing the word of God. We just need to make sure that we're doing what is right in the sight of God. I know that there are many, many, many people. Good evening, Apostle-elect Donna L. Shaw. We have to be very careful that although many people have gone to theology school and have obtained degrees, you know, from man, have obtained bachelor's, master's degrees, doctorate degrees, and whatever else may come after that, that we don't get so stuck on the letter of the law, but we get caught up in the spirit of God. Too many people taking the word of God and beating people with it and not really understanding what God's word is saying to them. And they're taking it and they're running with it and doing damage to people because they're putting their thoughts on it. They're putting their spin on it. They're putting their interpretation on it. The Bible tells us that prophecy is of no private interpretation. The word of God was spoken forth before we were ever, ever, ever born. Okay? The word of God is not to be taken as a private tool that we can use to, you know, turn up the heat on whoever we want to turn it on. The Bible is for everybody who will believe it. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic standard or status. It doesn't. None of that matters. The word of God is for those who believe it, those who are believers, those who have received the grace of God upon their lives by accepting Christ Jesus into their lives as their Lord and Savior. So what we want to do tonight, our study is going to be coming through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to be reading through 2 Thessalonians. There's some key scriptures in here that we want to look at, but as you can see by the title, it says, "Let's bring God back into church." I noticed, Donna, if I can still call you Donna, I noticed that in the building of the church, there are a lot of people leaving out of the building, and it seems to be a remnant of people who are really seeking the truth of what God is telling us. And I believe the reason why this is happening because it's so much form and fashion of man. It's so much ungodliness going on within these church buildings now that people are running. And the Bible talks about a great falling away, and we're looking for people to run out of the church, and it's going that kind of falling away. Well, people have already fallen away in their hearts. People have already fallen away in their hearts. So not just looking people to do a physical exodus from the building, but people have already done exodus in their heart. People have already fallen away from God in masses, but are still going to the church building. People have fallen away from God, I mean, in multitudes, but are still going to the church building. The Bible says, "This people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." This people worship me with their lip, but their heart is far from me. So people are looking for this great mass exodus for people to just all of a sudden run from the churches and stop going to church. No, people have already run from the church in their heart. But yet they're still going. They're still going to church, and they're still running up and down the aisles, and they're still hickama sai and help me tie my bow tie, ran up in a Hyundai. You know, all of that is still going on, but the heart has fallen away from God. And that's what we want to talk about on tonight. Patriot Greg, welcome. Say welcome to my BFF Lisa on the line, as well as Donna L. Shaw tonight, for joining us. I will ask you all to pray for my husband. He's sleeping right now, and I don't want to have to take him back to the hospital, but we want to pray for him, for his healing, that pneumonia does not take root. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus and thank God right now for his healing, for his delivering, that God has already healed him, and it is so done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we further want to say that we would like for God's Spirit to be in this broadcast tonight. We want the Holy Spirit of God to be on this broadcast, so that when people go back into the archives and listen to this, they will hear a word and be saved. Hear a word and be saved. And maybe they say, "I'm already born again," but saved from whatever it is you're going through. You know, saved from the falseness of the church stuff that's happening, where people are going to church and people are not coming out any different than when they went in. You know, no power, no real God, just a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We want God to use this broadcast to open the eyes of people so that they can go to God and say, "God, help me and tell me what it is that I need to do, because I don't want to fall away from you, God. I don't want to fall away. When that great falling away comes, which it has already begun, I don't want to be in that number where I'm falling away from you, God, where I used to read my Bible, I used to pray, I used to want to be around your people. I don't want to be around you." Not saying we don't want to be around God's people because of, you know, those that are, you know, doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. But there has been a falling away where I don't want to read God's word. You know, I don't want to look at anything religious. I'm doing everything contrary to what I used to do. I don't want to be caught up in that number where I say, "I used to be born again. I used to love God. I used to this and I used to that." So my prayer is that this broadcast will be able to help somebody who may have found themselves in that situation, that they can come back to God, that they can come back to the true and living God and understand that it's not about the clothes that you wear when you go to church. It's not about the shoes that you wear when you go to church. This is why I can tell you that the falling away has begun, because if you look on Twitter, if you look on Facebook, if you look on Instagram and look on Muzzy and look at these different social sites, you will see people actually sitting in church taking pictures of people's shoes. Where does that have any place in the service? I saw somebody take a picture of a person that is a friend of mine on Facebook. This has been several weeks ago. They actually said, I know y'all going to think this is wrong, but I'm sitting in church right now, but I couldn't even pay any attention to worship because I'm looking at these people's shoes. Are you kidding me? This is the place where we have gotten. This is why this broadcast is entitled, Let God Back in the Church. It's time to let God back in the church. We are the church. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have already kicked them out of here. A lot of us have. Because we're tuning in to things that are so far against God. We want to do everything else seems right, everything else seems better, being with God seems too tedious, being with God is too much, oh, it doesn't take all of that, yes, it does. And see, when people start saying stuff like it doesn't take all of that, here's the beginning of a falling away. When you're listening to too many voices, here's the beginning of the falling away. When you're torn between 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 opinions, there's the beginning of a falling away. When we have the Word of God, we have the Word of God before us, we have really no excuse as to why we can't read the Word of God. We have smartphones. Some of us still have dumb phones, but we have smartphones where we can pull the Bible up on it. It is not so dumb that we can't pull the Bible up on it. If we don't have that, we have laptops. If we don't have laptops, we have tablets. If we don't have tablets, we have something. We can go to the bookstores and get Bibles with different translations that make it easier for us to read. But we'd rather take the easy way out and just not do it at all and then wonder why there is no power in the body of Christ. Where's the power? Where's the power? If there is no God, there is no power. We're trying to do things on our own strength. We're trying to do things in the flesh. This flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. I know mine doesn't. Maybe your flesh has something that mine doesn't have. But my flesh profits nothing. And I'm trying to pull up that scripture for you right now. The flesh profits nothing. And I'm going to see if I can find this. Okay. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay, that wasn't it, but we're going to find it as we keep going on. If y'all find it, just put it in the chat room for me. Okay. The flesh profits nothing. It says John 6:63, the Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 63. The Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. Turn to that in your Bible if you have it. John 6:63. It's something about hearing the pages of the Bible crunching. We've gotten so far away from that, a lot of people. John 6:63 says, start at verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" Okay, he was talking to the disciples before. He was telling them about his flesh is food and his body is drink. His blood is drink. And they act like they couldn't understand that. So it says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And we know who betrayed him. He said, the Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing, but there are some of you who don't believe. And this is 2013, and that scripture still stands true today. The Spirit still gives life. The flesh still profits nothing. And yes, there are still some that don't believe. So they do what they want to do. Do you know how many people are walking around in church messed up, beat up, jacked up because they only want to go to church to hear the music? They only want to go to hear the music. Not the word of God. They want to hear the music. They want to hear something that makes them feel good. Okay? It's okay to make somebody feel good, but we need to be walking in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to be teaching people in these end times how to do spiritual warfare instead of trying how to get all of this money. Okay, yeah, we all want money and we all need money to a certain degree to do certain things in our lives. Because I do want money more than what I have, and I do want to live comfortable, and I do want to be able to go in the store and buy what I want to buy and not worry about if I buy this, I'm not going to be able to pay my light bill. So let me not sit here in front like I don't want money, because I really do. I don't want to be in love with money, that money is like God and to me, and you know I can't live without it. No, I don't want that. But what I'm saying is we need to be teaching people now spiritual warfare, because in 2013, are you kidding me? We think things are bad now. What do we think it's going to turn into? What do we think it's going to turn into? Things are bad now, but let me tell you something. They're going to wax worse and worse. Things are going to get worse and worse, and guess what's going to happen? People are going to be dumb spiritually, because all people want to do is have their flesh edified instead of their spirit edified. When you start talking about denying the flesh, when you start talking about being obedient to God, when you start talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind and stop conforming to this world, when you start, that people don't want to hear that. As long as you talking about, I wish my girlfriend was on the line right now, but she was saying last night at Bible study how in the church, in this one particular church now, they don't even say amen. I forgot the saying that she said, but they don't even say amen now. It's some other kind of, you know, hip-hop thing that they're saying in the church now. You know, and churches are filling up by the thousands, because now the agenda has changed. It's about getting as many people as you can get in to the building, but who's being taught about spiritual warfare? People are being taught. They're having seminars in churches on Sundays, how to be prosperous, how to get prosperity, how to pimp God, how to rob God, in essence, so you can get more money. Where's the spiritual warfare? Why do we think things are happening the way they're happening? Because we are not doing as much as we should be doing as believers to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're not standing against the wiles of the devil. We're standing with the wiles of the devil. Tricking one another, lying to one another, not helping one another, deceiving one another, coming against one another, being jealous of one another. Heresies being taught. Nobody's stopping it. People walking up in the church, homosexuals, leaving out the church, homosexuals. Nobody's saying nothing about it. Oh, no, let them come in. People coming in the church with their pants on the ground. Well, come on. Women, I was in church Sunday, and I just wanted to leave. It was so many body parts hanging out, short dresses, breasts hanging out, all kind. I'm like, what? Who? Where's the first lady at? Where's the women of the church? Where's the pastor? Who is teaching these people about modest apparel? Who is teaching these people that you just don't come into the house of God any old kind of way? Who is teaching these people that if you're friends with the world, you're an enemy of God? Where's the teaching? No, but you come in and they heard some good music and it was all good and a couple of people went to the altar and gave their lives to Christ, and my sister was one, so I do thank God for that. But what I am saying is that there's been a falling away where teachers are not even teaching the Word of God. They're putting a twist on the Word of God to make it sound good, to keep people from coming back, but therein is no power. If it were, we would not be having priests standing up in a homosexual relationship getting ordained and your partner standing right next to you. We would not be having people in church talking about I'm married to a man and he's the what they call him? The first gentleman. Not the first lady. He's the first gentleman. Are you kidding me? And people flocking to these churches. This is why this episode is titled Let God Back in the Church, because God ain't up in that. There's a spirit of heresy. There's a lying spirit. There's a deceiving spirit out in the land right now telling people that right is wrong and wrong is right. And people are falling for a hook, line, and sinker. And I'm telling you, if Jesus came back right now, I don't know how many would go back with him. Because we done became suckers. We done became hardened to the Word of God. And then when somebody like me or somebody like Donna or somebody like the rest of us come out with the real Word of God, they look at us and call us heretical. They look at us and tell us we're not loving God's people. They look at us and tell us that we're wrong because we won't compromise. They tell us that we're wrong because we won't, you know, ease up and we won't slack up. And get out of here with that. It's not time for the saints of God to start slacking up. It's time for the saints of God to gird up and start preaching what the Word of God says, the unadulterated Word of God, not a compromised version of the Word of God just to please people and get people in these buildings. Because the truth of the matter is, why are you getting all these people in your buildings anyway? Are you out on the street witnessing? Are you out on the street feeding the hungry? Are you out on the street clothing those that don't have any clothes? Are you building homes for those that are homeless? Are you building homes for the mothers who have been abused and they have nowhere to go? No, you got them in these shelters that are run down, and the shelters, they go in there, and the people in the shelters are stealing from them and all this other stuff. They're being abused in the shelter, but you building all these edifices. Huh? Hello? What? What did you say? Oh, that's right. No. The church is not doing what it's supposed to do. And we've allowed false gospels to come in, and we're sitting under false gospel and thinking it's okay that you did God a favor because you went to church. You sang on the choir. You did God a favor. No, get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. The Spirit gives life. All this other stuff is no life. If it's not the Spirit of God, it's no life in it. I wish I had some help. If I'm telling you, if the Spirit of God in it is not in it, is no life in it. We might as well just go ahead, repent. Let's get on our knees, ask God to forgive us, ask God to lead us in the way of righteousness, ask God to put us on a straight and narrow. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that way is death. We don't want to be on that way. We don't want to be on a broad way. We want to be on a narrow road. And there's not that many on that narrow road, but it don't have to be that many on the narrow road as far as I'm concerned. I want to get to heaven. I want to get to heaven and see God. And he say, come on in, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Let me make you ruler over many. Not because I want to be a ruler over many of anything. I want to make it in. I want to have that blessed hope that I know when I close my eyes, and it's time for this body to be raised up immortal, I want to be able to know that I'm going in to see my Heavenly Father, and that my living was not in vain. And that my living was not in vain. Because I know that when I wake up on the other side, I'm not going to have to worry about lupus. I'm not going to have to worry about nothing else that's going on in my body. I'm not going to have to worry about that. It's going to be peace. It's going to be joy. It's going to be perfect love, not this mess that we flip-flop around and call mess 1 minute and call mess another minute. You know, call love another minute, fair weather love. I love you today, but I'm not going to love you tomorrow. You look at me wrong, I'm not going to love you. I know you need your light bill paid and your gas bill due too, but I'm not going to help you. I'm going to go and take my money over there to McDonald's, and Ronald ain't never done nothing for you. That's all I'm trying to say. Good evening, Evangelist Barbara Mack in the house, in the chat room. And Barbara Mack, you know, if you want to call and get on this conversation, you know what to do. 323-693-3054. But now we're going to begin to read the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, please turn with me in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And as I'm reading this, there are going to be portions in the scriptures that I read. I'm going to ask you, if you underline in your Bible, you highlight in your Bible, that you will make a note of certain things that we are going to be reading about. I think it's important for us to read the Word of God because, as I stated before, it's not about my opinion. It's not about what I think. It's not about what you think. It's about what God thinks. Amen. She says the sound went out. Donna, if you can hear me, let me know in the chat room if you can still hear me. Okay, you can hear me. Okay, it must be something wrong with her system. Can you hear me, Patriot Greg? If you can, let me know in the chat room, please. I don't know. Patriot Greg, can you hear me? Okay, Patriot Greg hears me too. All right, so we're going to move on. Donna L. Shaw, at any time if you want to jump in the conversation, please press the 1. And I might just press the button anyway to get you in on the conversation if that's okay, if I don't see you press it. And it's area code 215625. I already know you're not going to press it, but that's okay, baby. I love you. So let's read 1 Thessalonians. We want to start at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay. It says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now, Paul is telling them, he's saying, abound more and more in the ways that we taught you how to walk to please God. We're not doing that today. We're not abounding more and more in the way we ought to walk to please God. We're just going the opposite way. Verse 2 says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Did you guys hear that? Underline that. Because people are debating about the Holy Spirit. It says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who also has given unto us his Holy Spirit. So if we're teaching this stuff about holiness and sanctification and honor, and we're supposed to know how to, you know, take care of our bodies and all of that. No, there's going to be people that despise it, but they're not despising us. They're despising God. Amen. I just got a little bit happy about that. Okay. Let's go back to verse 3. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Why is it that we have so many people in the church fornicating? Why is it that we have so many people in the church fornicating? Good evening, Diva, Evangelist Pat. How you doing? Evangelist Pat, if you want to call, area code 323-693-3054 and get in on a conversation, you can just dial that number and press 1. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Why is it that so many people are walking around in fornication and thinking it's okay? Verse 7 says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God has called us unto holiness. Okay. Verse 8, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all brethren which are in all Macedonia. Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay, that's talking about the rapture. But if we ain't living right, we might forget that. We might as well forget that great getting up morning. We might as well go on and forget that if we're not living right. Amen. Don't even try it. Somebody says, Patriot Greg says, it's because the world is selling us love, but sensual love, not agape love. And we are being sold sensual love. All you have to do is look at the commercials. Look at the liquid plumber commercial. Why do you have to... Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Y'all should underline that. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So even though Jesus said, the word says that the Lord is coming as a thief in the night, that day is not, it shouldn't overtake us. Because we're ready. We're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be waiting. We're supposed to be looking for that glorious appearing. Okay? Verse 5 says, you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Underline that. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Verse 14 says something very good. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Warn them that are unruly. Oh, no, but in 2013, if you warn somebody, that's saying what? Oh, you don't have any love. You're judging us. You're judging us. But you're coming into church, doing everything you want to do in the church. You're selling in the temple, up in the top of the sanctuary. You're selling this. You're selling that. You're doing this. You're doing that. The people that are you know, having problems with their sexual identity, running up and down the church, flaming, you know, not from the Holy Ghost, but flaming because you want people to look at you and say, oh, child, you was dancing today. Oh, yeah, Charles, you was. No, come on, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. And Patriot Grace says, the media is brainwashing us with gay agenda, which says God is love and God will not punish love and so on, and become brainwashed without even realizing it. We are indoctrinated to believe that love in any manifestation is not sin. So the subtle way Satan corrupts our mind become evident to those who are aware of what is going on. And that is the truth. That is the truth. We are listening to a bunch of crap as Christians. Because the president says gay marriage is okay. Because the congressmen are passing bills now that's saying gay marriage is okay. The Christians are supposed to jump on a bandwagon and be all right with it too. And guess what? Some of our phones are smarter than some of these people. We got smartphones and dumb people running around. It's just ridiculous. Folks going on, jumping on the bandwagon of the enemy when the Bible clearly tells us in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren. I'm not just asking you. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, and be not conformed to this world. And I tell you today that we have conformed so much to the world that it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous how much we have conformed to the world. The great falling away has already begun. You don't see a mass exodus of people leaving out of the church building, but the mass exodus has begun in the heart. The mass exodus has begun in the heart. People have fallen away from God in their hearts. And as you'll see soon, they will begin to fall away with their bodies. They're falling away in their heart. They don't fear God anymore. There is no reverential fear of God. There is no bona fide fear of God that God will get you. There is no fear anymore because the world, as Patriot Grace says, has indoctrinated us. They have force-fed us. They have everything you look at. It's in the TV shows. It's in the commercials. It's in the advertisement in the newspaper. It's on the gospel radio advertisements. They're advertising stuff on gospel radio stations that have no business being advertised on gospel radio stations, promoting sex outside of marriage, all this stuff, and they do it. They play it over and over again. They play it over and over again. They play it over and over again. So the more you listen, whatever you put inside of you, that's what's going to come out. So now you're looking crazy. You say, you know what? I think it's okay. I'm a pastor. I think it's okay. I will marry this gay couple because God is love, and God's not going to hold me responsible. So I'll go ahead and marry them because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Go somewhere. Anybody got time for that? Nobody got time for that. And I'm telling you, just like you say, Evangelist Matt, you say this is for the believer. We the believers we've fallen away in our hearts. The Bible says, this man worship me, this people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. Barbara Mack, you said, if we study his word and bring our flesh under subjection, no fornication in the church. That's it right there. Turn it all off. Turn the TV off and the radio. But we don't want to do that because we're so used to pleasing our flesh. We're so busy walking in the flesh. The Bible says walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. But we're so busy walking in the flesh that the spirit of God, but if he slapped us aside the head, some of us wouldn't even know that was the spirit of God. Because we're so wrapped up in the flesh. We're so wrapped up in this carnal stuff. The carnal mind is enmity against God, the word of God says. That's why we should have you know, lessons where we're doing, even on Blog Talk Radio, we just get the Bible and just read it. That's why I'm reading it tonight. We just got finished reading this chapter in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to 2 Thessalonians. Because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that convicts. It's the Word of God that changes hearts. I could talk till I'm blue in the face, but it's the anointing on the Word of God. The Word of God, the anointing destroys yokes. The anointing destroys yokes. And we need to really sit down and read the Word of God. He says, Evangelist Max says, because we're not bringing our flesh under subjection. How can we bring our flesh under subjection if we keep feeding our flesh everything that the flesh wants? The spirit is on a diet, but the flesh is not. The flesh is not on a diet. The spirit, we don't put the spirit on hold, and now the flesh doing whatever it want to do. And just like she said, I can't give the devil credit for what the flesh does. No, we can't give the devil credit for what the flesh does. We, as born-again believers, know what the Spirit of God wants. We know what the Word requires. It's just that we have done, just like Patriot Greg says, we have allowed this indoctrination to come, and now we're sitting thinking, like, what do we say in Bible study last night, Lisa? Did God really say that? Eve, sitting in the Garden of Eden, did God really say that? All Satan did was go to her and say, yeah, have God really said that? That's all the serpent did, have God really said that? Eve said, oh yeah, God said that we can't eat it, nor can we touch it. First of all, if God gave you all this other stuff to do in the garden, he gave you all these other trees that you could eat of, he said, don't eat off that one tree, that one. He gave you all those other trees to eat off of, but it was that one that you had to go get. Because the enemy did come, the serpent did come and say, did God really say that? And that's what's going on in 2013. Did God really say that homosexuality is wrong? Did God really say drunkenness is wrong? Did God really say that it's wrong for me to, you know, talk about Sister, you know, Evangelist Matt, you know, but say I really love her, or her light bill is not due, but, you know, I had the money, but I'm not going to give it to. Did God really say that's okay? Has God really changed his mind about his word? Has he? Has he changed? No. God's word hasn't changed. And now you have so many people trying to do all of this research on the Word of God now. Everybody wants to do all of this research now. Well, it really didn't mean that. And y'all been indoctrinated by the Calvinists and the this, and the that. And y'all really don't know what the Word of God means. And the Word of God really means this. Okay, you know what? God turned them over to a reprobate mind. How about that? God just went on and gave them over to a reprobate mind. I'm telling you, I don't know the name of this pastor, and if I did know it, I wouldn't tell you. But there is a pastor who has a husband. He is a man. He has a husband, and it is the first gentleman of the church. And people are flocking to that church because they feel love, and they feel like, well, this is the only place we can be accepted, because if we go to a regular church and they find out that we're gay, they're not going to let us do nothing in the church. Wow. So you got a church with a man as a pastor, and he has a husband. And the husband is the first gentleman. Give me a bucket. I need to vomit. Ridiculous. If someone is knocking on my door while I'm doing my broadcast, and hold on, guys. Yes. That's my neighbor. She's just going to have to wait. I have to talk to her later. But praise God. So, you have this thing about the people, the first husband. Where is God in it? Where in the world do we see that God is okay with that? Anyway, I'm going to go to Donna L. Shaw for a moment. Donna L. Shaw.
Hey, sis.
How you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I'm getting a little irritated.
You on fire.
I need to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Why is it that we think that God is okay with us relaxing his standards, and he's just going to bless what we say and bless what we do while we take his word and turn it around and turn it against what he said in the beginning? Where is that thinking coming from?
It goes back to what Patriot Greg said. That's where it goes back to, that this twisted notion of love and what love really is. Because if we really understood what love and the way God loves, yes, he loves us unconditionally, but that does nothing to negate the word he has already set, the standard that he has already put out there.
And yet we think that it's okay because Congress is passing bills, and you know, different states are passing bills. Now Delaware done passed a bill that is legal for legalizing gay marriage. Now listen, there's a part to this thing where people say, well, we should be able to get the same rights as a married couple. Well, I'm just gonna have to say that in God's eyes, you're not a married couple.
Correct.
I don't care what you say. And you can't equate it to racism as far as black people not being allowed to read and not, you know, that kind of stuff. No, you can't equate that to racism.
That's right.
Okay? You guys are making up stuff, and you want us as Christians to fall in line with what you're doing, and you want us to say that it's okay, so you want us to lower our standards to meet yours. And God never told us to lower our standards to meet anybody's.
Right.
He never told us to do that. But yet, because we keep listening to this stuff, and the more stuff you listen to, if you listen to it long enough, you will find yourself on that side of the table. You'll find yourself over there. You know, there were people that didn't want to have anything to do with homosexual marriage, okay, or the gay agenda, until President Obama said, I'm going to stand up for the gay agenda, not knowing that he only said that so he can get elected president again.
Right.
He said that so he can win votes, because he was losing the popular vote. Hello, somebody. But see, people don't look at that. Oh, well, the president says it's okay, so it must be okay. Now you have churches marrying people. How can you say you standing before the true and living God when you go back and read the book of Genesis, where Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
Go back and read chapter 1 of Romans. How can you stand as a man of God or a woman of God? How can you say you standing before a true and living God and marrying this couple? There's a horrible echo. Let me try to take you off and bring you back on.
Okay.
If anybody else wants to call in and chime in with this, please do. Divas, call in. Barbara, call in. Patriot Greg, call in. I've never heard your voice, but you can call in and talk about this, because there's heretical teaching going on. It's heretical. It's a lie. It's this free love. It's like being back in the 60s. Oh, everybody just love freely, and it's all good, and everybody's all good. No, it's a trick of the enemy. Why? Because the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. But guess what? He's not doing it to the world. He's doing it to us. The world is taking their beliefs and bringing their beliefs into the church. Not even just about homosexuality, people. We're talking about shacking up. Oh, why do you have to get married now? Angelina Jolie, the spokesperson for love. Are you kidding me? She drinks other people's blood, and that's your example? Are you serious? She drinks other people's blood. That's your example. All these couples now having babies out of wedlock, having babies with this person, but Hollywood is telling us that it's okay. Hollywood's telling us that this kind of thing is okay, and the church needs to relax its standards because Hollywood says it's okay. Jessica Simpson,
Her daddy was a preacher. He pimped his daughter out and told her, make sure you show your breasts. That way you'll get more contracts. That way you'll get more attention. Make sure you show your breasts. This man was a pastor. And now look at him. Now he's supposed to be gay. What? What? It's the spirit of deception in the land. And guess what? The body of Christ, we are held responsible because guess what? That's true. The hippies of the 60s and 70s are the lawmakers today. Go figure. How about that? Barbara Mack, you said you're working and you can't. I don't know what that was for. It was probably something I said earlier. But guess what? We, the body of Christ, better get it together. Because God is not accepting excuses. He gave us his word. He have allowed it to be condensed into 66 books. Because I know God had way more word than this. But it's condensed into 66 books. And these 66 books is enough to teach us how to live right. We better turn off the TV if that's necessary. Turn off the radio if that's necessary. Hide in your house. I don't know what you got to do. But all of this conforming to the world. Now the church is like going to the club. Oh, hey, over here. Let's do it. Let's bounce. I mean, in the church. In the sanctuary. In the sanctuary. Come in my sanctuary with that if you want to. I'm going to ask you to leave. Because that's not what it's for. Come, let us worship and bow down. Not come and bounce. Not coming, who let the dogs out? No. We need to turn our attentions to praise and worship. Turn our attention to the Word of God. Let's read the Word of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Okay, so that's good. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear that? Verse 6 says, see, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, them that tell you that you wrong for talking about homosexuality and drunkenness and fornication and adultery and lying and stealing and all that stuff, okay? And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them which know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith and power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our Lord, of the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all catch anything in there? It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, Jesus is coming to take vengeance. I hope you heard that. Jesus is coming to take vengeance on them that believe not and obey not the gospel. I like to say what Barbara Mack says. I didn't write it. You got a problem with it? Go take it up with God, because I didn't write it. Amen, people, amen. All right, let's go to the next chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know that, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Y'all heard that? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's what people get that from, use a lying wonder. With power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because what? They receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Y'all might want to underline that. Because they receive not the love of the truth. Not only did they not receive the truth, but they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion. That sounds like something over in Romans chapter 1. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Mark that, y'all, in the verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Did y'all hear that? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Area code 323-693-3054 is the number. Area code 323-693-3054. Donna Shaw, what do you have to say about that?
You have said it all. I'm serious. You have hit it. You have put it out there. And if we really believe the way we say we believe, then it's time for us to start walking it. It's time for us to start standing on it. It is time for us to come back out of the closet. Everybody else has come out and we've run back in. But it's time for us to come back out. And if we have to stand alone and standing on his word, then so be it. But it's time for us to get back out.
And you're right about that. Come Out the Closet. I think that should be the next title of our broadcast. Come Out the Closet.
Mm-hmm.
Come Out the Closet. Because I like what you just said. We done ran into the closet while everybody else coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything and everything else is done. Come out the closet, and we done run into the closet, hiding our holiness, hiding our righteousness. But did you just hear what we just read?
Mm-hmm.
And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie,
mm-hmm.
that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. So you going to heaven and you don't believe the truth? It says right here that they all be damned.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't believe the truth, but that you take pleasure in unrighteousness. So we supposed to preach that everybody's going to heaven when this right here says you're going to be damned?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? Now, how many times have I read these scriptures? And now this is standing out to me like in bold letters, like, huh? God is love and everybody's going to heaven? Why did Jesus die, Donna? Why did he die if everybody's going to heaven and we
right.
can all do what we want to do? What was the purpose of Jesus being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities and the chastisement of our peace being upon him, and with his stripes we're healed from our iniquities and our transgressions? What was the point of all of that?
Mm-hmm.
If everybody going to heaven, I don't get it. So we're supposed to teach everybody going to heaven. Uh-uh, no. Now I got renewed strength right here just from reading this. It says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned to believe not the truth. So you're not believing the truth, but you're going to sit up in heaven next to God anyway. Huh? I don't know when God got confused, but I didn't know he was confused. Because this right here in verse 12 says very clearly that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And then he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So we need to be sanctified. We need to go to these churches. We need to have Blog Talk Radio programs and say, we need to be sanctified in the Spirit. And we need to come back and believe the truth. We need to ask God
That's my phone. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead and mute me.
We need to ask God to, hold on. Okay. I'm trying to mute it. We need to go back and we need to ask God to forgive us. We need to repent and ask God to sanctify us. We need to repent and say, God, excuse me, I've been in error. I've listened to the world. I've listened to the lies of the enemy. I've listened, Lord, and I've even been deluded myself. I've even had strong delusion. Please forgive me. I want, Lord, help me, okay? Okay, Barbara Mack. I'm not judging nobody. The blind, if they blind, they blind. But nowadays, nobody has to be blind, Patriot Greg. Nowadays, people don't have to be blind. It's too many Bibles. It's too much internet out here. People using the internet and the TV for everything else. Why not pick up the internet and look on the TV for the Word of God? I can't judge nobody for being nothing. That's God. That's in God's hand. But what did the Word, we just read the Word. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Look, today is 2013. If we still blind, that's because we really, 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 really want to be blind. Because there's too many Bibles out here for people to pick up. The Holy Ghost is real, and he will lead us and guide us into all truth. So what I'm saying is, I ain't judging nobody. The Word of God is judging, and the Word of God will continue to judge. But people can't play on God's sympathy because God's not stupid. He's not. There's nothing wrong with God. He's not crazy. We're not going to act like God crazy because he's not. God going to judge them. And they're going into damnation because they don't want to believe the truth. And if people don't want to believe the truth, then that's on them. You can't make people believe the word of God. When I was out there doing what I was doing, people were telling me I wasn't supposed to fornicate, I wasn't supposed to be drunk, I wasn't supposed to be this, and I wasn't supposed to be that. And my attitude was, yeah, whatever. God's all right with me. God's cool. He's not going to do, huh? I thank God that he didn't allow me to die in my foolishness. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I'm sorry, I got to give a hand clap right there. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Mark that in your Bible. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. We wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And folks take that scripture out of context all the time. But he says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So it shouldn't be pastors sitting around with their hands across their belly doing nothing but want to eat anyway. You're supposed to be working. You shouldn't be sitting around with your, what you call the people, them handmaidens and them armor bearers walking around carrying your steaks and your china and all that stuff, and you ain't really done nothing but got up there and hooped and hollered. Ain't nobody heard a word that you said. You just got up there and made a whole bunch of noise. Now you want to sit at the table with a fork and a knife and linen and a clear a wine glass and a steak and whatever else you got in that bottle, frauding like it's Kool-Aid, whatever it is. Go on somewhere and sit down. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Folks out here calling themselves pastors, ain't went to visit nobody, ain't went to lay hands on nobody, ain't went to no hospital, ain't been to no jail, but you sitting around collecting a salary. You need to give it up, because if you don't work, you don't eat. Pastors sitting around not even praying for the flock. You supposed to be praying, and you sitting at home looking at television or in some restaurant somewhere, and probably in a hotel room somewhere you ain't got no business being, drawing a salary from the church and ain't helped nobody yet. My Lord, my Lord. Well, Jesus. Well, Jesus. That's all I can say is, well, Jesus. Well, Jesus. Well, Jesus. That's all I can say. All right, I see Evangelist Mac has left, and I see Donna L. Shaw has left, and Bible Truth by Benny has tuned in. Praise God. Bible Truth by Benny, Divas for God's Kingdom, Patriot Greg. If you have anything you'd like to say, area code 323-693-3054 is the number to call in if you have something you'd like to say. The Word of God has spoken for itself. I don't have to say anything else. We're going to read the next chapter. Excuse me. I apologize. Excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my son in the faith, grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that's where that Father and Son and the Lord stuff. See that? That's where that came from. Okay. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, you heard that? From which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. But the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I think some of us need to underline that too, that Christ Jesus, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, he was talking to Timothy, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the power which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, which I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Oh, my goodness. Paul said, holding faith and conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander? He said, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Oh, my goodness. Woo! There it is. I don't gotta say nothing else. Whoop! There it is. There it is. Look, y'all, I thank God for this broadcast on tonight. The Word has spoken for itself. The Word has spoken for itself. I don't have to say anything else. The Word has spoken for itself. He just got finished saying that he delivered them unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. My, my Lord. Father, we just thank you. We just come before you right now to say thank you. Father God, I bless your name. I give you glory and I give you honor. Heavenly Father, I pray that this word that has come forth tonight, your holy word, that someone will hear that will receive your word. For we know that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. And I pray, God, that people will hear your word and believe. They will hear your word and believe, Lord God. I pray for the body of Christ. I pray, God, that we will no longer be turned to every wind of doctrine, that we will no longer be turned by the craftiness of men and the deceitfulness of riches, that we will no longer be turned by Hollywood, way of Hollywood and TVs and commercials and what these people say. God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive us as a church, as a body, to forgive us. Father, for we have sinned. We have sinned, God. We have done things that have grieved your spirit. God, we've allowed a lie in and called it the truth, and the truth we have called the lie. God, I ask you to forgive us in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, God, have mercy on us and forgive us, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive us in the name of Jesus. Lift up those who are wanting to stand in faith, Lord God, wanting to stand in the truth of your word. Lift us up. Lord, help us stand. Help us, oh God, not to stand in the fear of man, but to stand in the fear of you, God. Help us to be bold soldiers as we go forth, Lord God, and not our understanding, Lord, but to lean unto you, Lord, to seek you with our whole hearts, to trust you with our whole hearts, to love you with our hearts, to love your word and to obey your word at every cost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, we have erred, Lord. We have erred. We have erred, Lord. We have erred, Lord. But God, we ask you for forgiveness, and we thank you for that forgiveness, Lord. And God, we shall stand. We shall not be your enemy, but we shall stand with you, oh God. It is our God unto salvation. God, I thank you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that we shall no longer compromise. We shall no longer compromise your word, oh God, but we will speak your truth and we will speak it in love, yes, but we will speak it in power. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. For you have not given us the spirit of fear. Mm-mm. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, Father, we just thank you for this word, the sword of the Spirit. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this word. And we give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We do have a few minutes left on the broadcast. If anybody would like to call in, area code 323-954 is the number. You can call in and press the number one. If you have a question, comment, and or praise report, you can do so at this time. If not, I'd like to invite you all that are in the Philadelphia area or the surrounding area to the Out of a Pure Heart Ministries Women's Conference, which will be held Thursday and Friday, June 6th and 7th, 2013, at Society for Helping Church, which is located at 1323 West Susquehanna Avenue, Philadelphia, PA. This is 7 p.m. each night. The first night we will have Evangelist Patricia Ransom, who is the speaker on that night, and the second night we will have Evangelist Stacy Lattisaw, who is the speaker for that night. Please be tuned onto my webpage, my Facebook page. We have an exciting lineup coming up next week. One of the speakers, Evangelist Ransom, for the Women's Conference, where we're expecting healing and deliverance. We're expecting salvation and people to get set free from demons, from drug addiction, alcohol addiction, abuse, crack. We're just asking God to heal, set free, and deliver, and we believe that it's going to be done because we believe that it's already done in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. But Evangelist Ransom will be our guest speaker on May the 24th at 5 p.m., and we're still waiting to hear from Stacy Lattisaw to find out what day she's going to be available before the conference, but we do have a lineup of guest speakers beginning on next week, if it is the Lord's will. Amen. God bless you. Please pray for us. Please pray for Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. Please pray for Refuge of God Church Ministries. Please pray for every ministry in the chat room represented: Bible Truth by Benny, Divas for God's Kingdom, Patriot Greg's Ministry, Barbara Mack, who's Freedom Doors Ministry, and her broadcast on Blog Talk Radio is Jesus in the Morning. Donna L. Shaw is walking. I believe hers is Walking on the Word. Donna L. Shaw Ministries. You can find her on Facebook. Let's support one another, but let's get the Word of God out. Let's get the Word of God out, because guess what? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Word of God. Jesus said in his Word, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." So let's lift up Jesus. Let's remember what John 6:33 says. He says, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life." Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. If the Lord says the same, we'll be back on Friday, same time, same station, and we may be talking about getting that up. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful night.